Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Kevin O'Rourke's A Short History of Brexit. Sophie, I have to ask, what did this book make you feel?
Honestly, it made me feel like I finally understood something that always seemed like a chaotic mess. It's not a blow-by-blow of the referendum campaign. It's a deep dive into the centuries of history that led up to it.
Right, and that's what I loved. It's not just about a bus with a slogan. It's about tectonic plates. O'Rourke argues that the vote to leave wasn't an aberration. It was the culmination of a really fraught relationship with Europe that goes back hundreds of years.
Exactly.
He roots it in the very nature of the British state. For centuries, Britain defined itself in opposition to Europe. Think the Spanish Armada, the wars with France, the global empire. It saw itself as a global power, not a European one.
So there's this foundational myth of sovereignty and global destiny. And that's the first layer. When the European project started after World War II, Britain was conspicuously absent. It had won the war, but it had lost its empire, and it still clung to that illusion of greatness.
That sets up the halting, reluctant, and often humiliating process of joining what was then the EEC. In the 1950s, when six founding members were creating the coal and steel community, Britain refused. It thought the special relationship with the US and the Commonwealth would be enough.
And that was a catastrophic miscalculation. As the EEC flourished, Britain's relative decline became undeniable. So it had to apply, and then Charles de Gaulle vetoed the application twice, in 1963 and 1967. He saw Britain as a Trojan horse for American influence.
That's a profound national humiliation. When Britain finally joined in 1973, it was as a latecomer, reluctant suitor that had been publicly rejected. It had to accept rules it had no hand in writing. That awkward entry set the stage for the first referendum in 1975.
And that vote was a landslide for staying in, 67%. But O'Rourke argues the seeds of future trouble were planted in the terms of the debate. The Labour government renegotiated the terms and presented it as a new, improved deal that set a dangerous precedent that the terms were perpetually negotiable.
Yeah, and that campaign also birthed two distinct strands of Euroscepticism. On the left, Tony Benn and others said the EC was a capitalist club that undermined socialist planning. On the right, Enoch Powell and later Thatcher said it threatened national sovereignty.
Two contradictory currents, but they eventually merged into the force that drove Brexit. And then we get to the core of O'Rourke's argument, the Maastricht Treaty of 1992. That's where he locates the true origin of the modern crisis.
Maastricht transformed the EEC from a common market into the European Union, a political project with ambitions beyond trade. It introduced European citizenship, laid groundwork for a single currency, and expanded policy into social policy, justice, and home affairs.
For the British political class, that was a step too far. The Conservative Party was torn apart by the Maastricht debates. John Major's government was crippled by a small but fanatical group of Eurosceptic MPs who saw it as a betrayal.
And from that point on, the question shifted from, does the single market work for us, to who rules Britain? That's a fundamental political question, and O'Rourke says it made a future collision inevitable.
Then we move through the 90s and 2000s, a period of increasing divergence. Britain opted out of the single currency and Schengen. It became a semi-detached member, always pushing for a more deregulated, free market Europe.
And then there's the enlargement of the EU to include former communist countries. That was initially seen as a British foreign policy triumph. But the British government was one of the few that didn't impose transitional controls on the free movement of workers.
So there was a wave of immigration much larger and faster than predicted. And that transformed politics, especially in working class communities that felt left behind by globalization. The economic benefits were real, but the cultural and social disruption was felt intensely in specific places.
the EU suddenly became a concrete reality in the form of new neighbors, new languages in schools, pressure on public services. That's when the abstract idea of Europe became very tangible.
So then David Cameron, trying to manage his party's internal divisions and head off UKIP, promises a referendum. That's the fatal gamble. His renegotiation in 2016 was a pale imitation of 1975. A few minor opt-outs and a vague commitment about ever closer union. It satisfied no one.
Right, and the campaign itself was chaotic and often dishonest. The Leave campaign was a coalition of strange bedfellows, free market libertarians, anti-immigration populists, old-fashioned nationalists, and left-wing socialists. Their only unifying principle was take back control.
That slogan was brilliantly effective because it meant different things to different people. For some, it was about immigration. For others, it was about freeing Britain from EU regulations. For still others, it was about restoring parliamentary sovereignty.
Meanwhile, the Remain campaign relied on Project Fear with dire economic warnings. Those warnings were largely accurate, but they failed to resonate with voters who felt they had already lost control of their lives.
The promise of £350 million a week for the NHS was a lie, but it was a powerful and simple story. The Remain campaign had no story, just complicated graphs and warnings about the status quo.
And the result, 52-48 for Leave, was a shock. But O'Rourke shows it wasn't a single, coherent decision. It was a protest vote, a cry of pain from communities hollowed out by deindustrialization and austerity.
Yeah, and it was sharply divided along lines of age, education, and geography. The young, the educated, and city dwellers voted to remain. The old, the less educated, and those in struggling provincial towns voted to leave. It was a vote about the kind of country Britain had become.
In the end, O'Rourke's book is a tragedy of errors. It's the story of a country that never came to terms with its diminished place in the world and a political elite that used Europe as a scapegoat for decades.
So the takeaway for me is that Brexit wasn't a sudden madness. It was the logical, perhaps inevitable, conclusion of a story that began when Britain first looked across the English Channel and decided it was different, separate, and special.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app, with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. To understand Brexit, you have to understand the long, complicated, and unhappy marriage between Britain and Europe. And that's what this book gives you. We'll see you in the next one.